Goodbye, Mitch McConnell. Hello, Democratic control of the U.S. Senate and the chance for President Joe Biden to govern. Hey, gang, it's Jamila King here with a special breaking news edition of the Mother Jones podcast. It's official. Reverend Raphael Warnock is now the first Black senator in Georgia history and the first Black Democrat to be elected to the Senate in the South, beating Senator Kelly Loeffler. And John Ossoff clinched his race against Senator David Perdue. Two wins fought neck to neck, one result. Democrats will now control the Senate with a tiebreaker vote from newly elected Vice President Kamala Harris come January 20th. It will be the first time Democrats have controlled both houses of Congress and the presidency since Obama's first term. Senior reporter from Mother Jones, Ari Berman, is here. Ari, hello.
Hey, Jamila. Happy New Year. Good to talk to you again.
Happy New Year to you. What was your first reaction to the news?
It was stunning. I mean, it was honestly stunning. I was surprised when Joe Biden carried Georgia, and I was even more surprised when the two Democratic candidates for U.S. Senate appeared to win, because runoff elections were designed specifically to prevent Democrats from winning and to prevent Black candidates in particular from winning. So to have it be announced that Raphael Warnock is the first Black U.S. senator from Georgia and the first Black Democratic senator from the South, it felt far more historic than even Biden's win.
Ari, Mitch McConnell might have a new title, Minority Leader of the U.S. Senate, pretty soon. If you were composing the political obituary for his Senate leadership today, what would be your opening lines?
My opening line would be that this is a man that destroyed American democracy. I think Mitch McConnell is even more responsible for destroying American democracy than Donald Trump. This is someone who enabled Donald Trump. This is someone whose legacy is gutting campaign finance laws, gutting voting rights, packing the courts with extreme ideological conservatives. So I understand that Donald Trump has gotten all the attention in the Trump era, but Mitch McConnell is really the one that destroyed American democracy. He was the one who created the conditions for Donald Trump, who enabled Donald Trump, and who at every step of the way has chosen extremism over compromise and over common sense and over democracy. And so I think for Democrats, getting rid of Mitch McConnell, or at least making him Senate Minority Leader, is almost as satisfying as getting rid of Donald Trump. And I think maybe for some people like Chuck Schumer, making McConnell Senate Minority Leader might even be more satisfying than getting rid of Donald Trump.
Ari, we spoke recently about Mitch McConnell's project to appoint Trump judges relentlessly across the last 4 years. Is this his biggest political legacy?
Yeah, the fact that there are now three justices on the Supreme Court that were nominated by Trump and confirmed by Senate Republicans, one of whom is a stolen seat, another of whom is a seat that should have never been confirmed in the first place, a third judge who was credibly accused of sexual assault. So, I mean, you have three judges all confirmed under very sketchy circumstances. And then you have the fact that there's overall 234 federal judges were confirmed by Trump by Mitch McConnell. That means that Trump was able to get as many appellate judges confirmed in 4 years as Barack Obama was able to get confirmed in 8 years. And this is going to be McConnell's legacy. And McConnell has been very open about this, that at some point he'll be gone. Trump is going to be gone soon, but these judges are going to be on the court for 40 or 50 years, steering America in a very right-wing, ideologically conservative direction that I think is out of step with the American people and is certainly out of step with what voters in Georgia and in many other states voted for, both in November and in January.
Ari, what do you think Democrats should do immediately with the ability to pass legislation?
Well, I mean, first off, they just need to get all of their people confirmed, which is going to be a lot easier now that Mitch McConnell's not there anymore. They can confirm judges with 50 votes and Kamala Harris breaking the tie. They can now confirm Biden's entire cabinet, assuming that Democratic senators hold the line. In a longer term basis, they need to think about what they're going to do for bills that require more than 50 votes. So McConnell is going to try to use the filibuster and require 60 votes for every major piece of legislation. So if Democrats want to get through transformative legislation, legislation, for example, to restore the Voting Rights Act, or legislation to create accountability for the police, or legislation to deal with healthcare or climate change or immigration or all of these other issues, I believe they're going to have to get rid of the filibuster, which is, as Barack Obama said, a legacy of Jim Crow that allows a small minority of senators to block legislation supported by a majority of Americans. And we've seen what Mitch McConnell can do in the opposition. He was able to thwart much of Barack Obama's agenda when Barack Obama had 59 and 60 Democratic votes in the Senate. Joe Biden's only going to have 50 Democratic votes in the Senate. So Mitch McConnell's not going anywhere. And basically, Democrats have to decide, do we give Mitch McConnell veto power over practically every piece of legislation, or do we have a mandate for transformative change? And I believe they have a mandate for transformative change. And I believe the Georgia election showed that very, very clearly, because this in many ways was a referendum on whether Joe Biden should be able to get his agenda through. And the voters spoke very clearly. They wanted a Congress that would work with Joe Biden, not obstruct him.
What about voting rights legislation?
I think voting rights legislation has to be an absolute top priority, not just because of the voter suppression that we saw throughout the run-up to the election, but because of all the attempts to try to subvert the election after. We saw way too many voting problems in places like Georgia, whether it's blocking voter registration drives or closing polling places or making people wait 11 hours to vote. And the way to fix that is to restore the Voting Rights Act so that states with a long history of discrimination like Georgia have to approve their voting changes with the federal government, and also to pass more sweeping legislation that would not just make it easier to vote, but would make it harder to gerrymander, make it harder to buy elections, things like that. And the House has already passed this legislation. They've already passed a bill called H.R. 1, the For the People Act, that would reform American democracy in all sorts of ways. And they've already passed legislation to restore the Voting Rights Act, which is now called the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And I think if there was any message coming out of Georgia and coming out of the fact that Black voters turned out in record numbers to elect two Democratic candidates, is that we need to restore the Voting Rights Act. We need to honor John Lewis, not just with words, but with action. So I believe this needs to be a top priority for Democrats. And if they can't get Republican support for these pieces of legislation, they need to be willing to get rid of the filibuster to be able to pass it and transform American democracy.
And Ari, of course, stimulus checks, are they on their way? When are folks going to get their money?
They should be. They should be on their way, because they would have been on their way if Mitch McConnell had just allowed a vote on it, because there was strong bipartisan support for $2,000 checks. And I mean, President Trump is a lot of things, but he's also a fairly shrewd political operator. And I think he realized that people are hurting now. And when he called for $2,000 checks, Democrats leapt at the opportunity, because $600 is not nearly enough. $2,000 is not nearly enough, but $2,000 is a lot better than $600, given how many people are struggling right now. So I think economic stimulus is something that is long overdue. The compromise bill that passed the U.S. Senate is totally inefficient. And McConnell has been blocking all sorts of pieces of legislation for years that have strong bipartisan support. $2,000 checks are one of the many things that has strong bipartisan support that you could imagine, even with the filibuster, getting 60 or more votes. But I think in general, Democrats have to realize they have a mandate now. They might not have a mandate forever. There might not be one party control of government forever. They could easily lose that majority either in the House or the Senate in 2022. So this is not the time to slow walk things. This is time to give the American people the policies that have been blocked for the last 4 years.
All right, stick around. We'll be right back to talk about this historic moment. And listeners, New Year's resolution time, guys. I have one resolution. I'm not big on them, but I did have one, and it is to get as many of you subscribed to the Mother Jones podcast as possible. So help me reach my goal. It's so attainable and it's so easy. Just hit that subscribe button. Thanks a lot. The Mother Jones stories you're hearing right now are brought to you by our listeners and loyal readers who fuel our work. Audience support makes up 2/3 of the Mother Jones budget and helps our team dig deep on stories that matter. Make a donation at motherjones.com/give to keep our nonprofit newsroom humming. Again, that's motherjones.com/give. Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Ari Berman, Mother Jones's voting rights reporter, on this historic news out of Georgia. Let's talk about the race itself in Georgia. The state flipped for Biden, now another big win for political organizing, and one name takes center stage for her role. Who?
Stacey Abrams. She had a vision of what she called a new American majority in Georgia, where communities of color, young voters, and women would join forces to turn the state blue. And it seemed like a pipe dream in the early 2010s when Georgia was solidly red. But she saw that there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of unregistered voters in the state, and the demographics of Georgia were changing, but they needed to be activated and mobilized. So she did that first by starting a group called the New Georgia Project. Then, of course, she ran for governor. That effort was ultimately unsuccessful, in large part because of voter suppression directed at her. But nonetheless, a lot of people were engaged as a result of her race. Then she started a new group, Fair Fight Action, which in coalition with a lot of other groups, really tried to make real the promise of her gubernatorial campaign, that if they weren't able to win in 2018, they could build on those efforts to win in 2020. And you saw the first results of that in November. But the runoffs are even more important because a lot of people thought turnout was going to be down significantly in the runoffs. People were fatigued because of the election. It was taking place over the holidays. COVID was spiking once again in Georgia. And it was just very easy to imagine a situation where a lot of people stayed home. And the fact that turnout looks like it's going to be 90% of what it was in the general election is just incredible. And it looks like Black turnout is actually going to increase from November to January, which is just astonishing that with everything going on, more people voted in a runoff election for U.S. Senate than for a presidential campaign that got so much more attention. And so I think it's testament to the fact that Abrams has a playbook of engaging communities of color, of organizing against voter suppression, of talking about issues that people actually care about, not these kind of scripted, watered down messages. And I think this is a blueprint not just for Georgia, but for the entire Democratic Party that people are going to be studying very, very closely in the years ahead.
Ari Berman, thank you so much for marking this historic moment with us, for our listeners. I'll see you very, very soon.
Thanks, Jamila. Stay well. Appreciate it.
That's it for this special breaking news edition of the Mother Jones podcast. I'm your host, Jamila King in Brooklyn. I'll see you next week. This podcast is brought to you by Mother Jones listeners like you who donate to keep our newsroom buzzing. Help us stay on the beat. Go to motherjones.com/give.